So you have to hold your people accountable to the vision and hold high, high standards, because the people you remember in your life are the people that held you to high standards, not the ones who took it easy on you.
Feel fear. That's where
you've got to become the person that will attract the number 200 different cognitive biases.
The real work in any business is thinking.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the NMPD podcast. I'm so excited because we're going to be talking with another amazing leader on the show today. My name is Cody DeGraff. I'm here with my co-host, Gabriel Klingman.
What is up, fam? Welcome. Today is going to be a blast. Let's show Luke some love. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. Right back to you, Code.
Thanks, Gabe. And guys, yeah, we are so excited because we have Luke Acree on the show today. Now, for those of you who don't know Luke, he is the president of Reminder Media, which is a unique marketing agency that builds up rapport for other businesses. In addition to that, Luke is also a motivational speaker, a digital creator, and a personal coach. Luke, thanks so much for coming on the show, man. How you doing?
Dude, I'm doing fantastic. And I love you guys' energy, man. Rarely do I come across other podcast hosts that have the same type of energy as me. So I love it, man. This is going to be a great show.
Brilliant, brilliant.
This is going to be fun.
So what we like to do is kind of start off with, like, you know, just a bunch of random questions, like just five of them. And it's called the five random. So would it be all right with you if we just ask you these random questions real quick?
Throw it at me. I can't promise the answers I'll give them.
Okay. That's the
all right,
best
here we
part.
Go. So the first question of the five random, spending a day with Grant Cardone or spending a day with Ed Mylett?
Ed Mylett.
Ooh. Yeah, dude, I'm with you on that. 100%.
I totally feel that. Favorite show as a kid?
Favorite show as a kid would be 5 Mile Creek.
5 Mile Creek. I don't know if I've heard of that.
I don't
one
know that one.
Probably
either.
Not. I was homeschooled, so that's probably why. Because those are the shows homeschooled kids watch, I guess. No.
Bro, that's all hilarious. Three of us were homeschooled, so that's freaking awesome.
Oh, get out of here! That's crazy. That's I didn't even know that about you guys.
All right. Number three. If you were to write a book this year, what would the title of that book be?
The Four Pillars of Leadership.
Interesting.
Oh, damn. Okay, like follow up on that. What are the four pillars of leadership?
Yeah, four pillars of leadership, or at least in my experience, would be a leader has to set the vision, has to inspire people to the vision, has to hold people accountable to the vision, and then has to walk with their people in the vision by practicing servant leadership.
Come on, dude. Okay, when you write that book, let us know. I want a copy of that book.
Okay. Awesome.
If you had $1,000 to spare, would you put it in Bitcoin, gold, or silver?
Ooh, I definitely go Bitcoin right now.
Right now, for real.
Yeah. Oh, I'm with you on that. Crazy, crazy, crazy. All right, and then the final question is, what is the last thing that you ate?
Banana.
A banana, there you go. Get your potassium, man, that's great.
Well, actually, part of this thing that I'm doing right now, diet-wise, is just to add in more fruits and vegetables, because I definitely don't eat enough, so.
I feel that.
Add more fruits and vegetables, man.
I feel that, dude. On that note, we just learned five, well, technically six very random things about you, but we want to get to know you. We want to get personal. What is your story? How did you become the person that you are today?
Yeah, so I'll try not to bore you guys, but I'll give you kind of a flavor. So I already mentioned I was homeschooled. So I grew up in a family of eight kids. Was actually my first love was music. So was one of those crazy homeschool kids that played 4 hours of music a day, was in a band with my brothers. We traveled around. My dad's a pastor. So we traveled around playing church camps, coffee houses, did that from like 15 years old all the way to college. The band broke up because my brother fell in love, who was the drummer.
Yep.
And all band stories break up with a love story. And he fell in love, got married. So ruined that dream of becoming the next, you know, popular band. My mom always told me, not as an insult, but just as trying to guide me in life, always said, hey, you shouldn't really go to college. You should probably just go to community college and get a certificate just because I wasn't like the best at school. And so went to community college for 2 years, did a computer certificate, but in the middle of doing the computer certificate, found out, hey, I love computers. And I love, you know, I don't know why I love software engineering from a perspective of not about the engineering portion, but just because all the companies that I was looking at, man, they were selling for a lot of money. Mm-hmm. All the tech companies were driving business, right? And so ended up starting, my brother who got married as the drummer, we started a business together called Nexmark Design, which is a website company. So I was doing like the back end side of the websites. He was doing the front end. He's an unbelievable designer, actually the marketing director here at Reminder Media. So did that for about 4 years. Over the course of doing that, so my uncle who started Reminder Media about 17 years ago, 18 years ago, So successful entrepreneur, wow, reached a point in his life that I think a lot of people can relate to, which is, you know, you've had success and you're going out there and you're pounding the pavement and you kind of reach that valley or that burnout phase and you don't know what to do next. And he was a mentor to me at Nexmark Design. And I was doing that for about 4 years with my brother. And basically the whole time was selling me on this idea of joining up with him, of joining together and saying, hey, you know, he had this vision for what we could be. And so I came up here, and at that time we had about, we joined together, had about 40 employees. Now we have about 250 employees. It's been an incredible ride that we've been on together, where it's gone. We work in a bunch of different industries, 140 different industries, but our main sales component is we want to help business owners with the number one problem they face, which is they're wasting the leads that they get because they're not successfully following up. They're not successfully keeping in touch the amount of times they should. And everybody feels that when they have a lead, they know, yeah, I'm not reaching out as many times as I should. So we step in and we try to automate that process for them, but we do it in a way that's not crappy. We actually focus on doing really high quality touch points, really high quality nurture campaigns that result in ultimately ROI. So that's a little bit of my story. It's been a long road. It's been unbelievable, but gives you a little picture of where I'm at today.
Dude, that is amazing. And it's so true. I mean, like, just by watching all of the videos and content that you've created that I've been able to check out, which I want to encourage all of our viewers to check out that content. We will leave that in the description below. But you do an amazing job, bro. Like, the stuff that you bring out is phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. I also have to put a side note in and say that Gabe and I both originally got involved in music. So we have a lot in common between the three of us, being homeschooled, very much in love with music. And we actually met being on a worship team at our church. So
that's crazy. I'm the worship leader at my church right now. So this is a really strange, this is like Inception or something. Maybe you guys are living my life or I'm living yours. I don't know.
Straight up. That's what's going on right here.
Exactly. I'm sorry. I had to go side note because there's way too many coincidences going on here. So
I was
going to
do it if you weren't. It was going to be great.
Yeah, freaking awesome. All right. Well, let's hop into this then. Thanks for sharing your story. And so obviously we're a channel, we have a lot of network marketers that follow us. So there's a lot of individualistic marketing that goes on with all of our, you know, the people that we talk with and share with. And with that being said, can you kind of just share maybe what are some of the biggest mistakes that you notice that people make in their in the marketing process of their business? And it doesn't necessarily have to be network marketers, but just, you know, from your experience, you know?
I'll give you guys what I've been really preaching, for lack of a better way of saying it, right now to people. I've really been looking at, okay, in 2021, so we worked with about 40,000 business owners last year, and I'm constantly trying to go, okay, where should the focus be, and what do people need to focus on from a marketing standpoint? And where I believe wholeheartedly is majority of business will come from your sphere. And the problem with sphere type marketing for people is it's not instant gratification. So sphere type marketing, in the nature of what it is, it's a relationship. And so relationship marketing takes a long time. And it's a type of thing where you can't just do direct response. And in a world where people, you know, are scrolling, you know, hundreds of posts per minute type idea, it's really hard for people to do relationship marketing well. So I would encourage people right now, if you want my opinion on where your next deal is, it's in the relationships you already have. So how do you strategically market to them in a way that gets them to give you referrals, in a way that gets them to use you? And I came up with this acronym. I know acronyms are corny, but it's an easy way for people to remember and digest. It's basically called FIT. You got to get your marketing fit in 2021. And what I've been talking about is this idea. FIT stands for frequency, impact, and trust. So you need to look at your marketing right now that you have, whether it's email marketing, social media marketing, print marketing, video marketing, it doesn't matter. And you've got to ask yourself, does it fit in this principle? Frequency, and I'll just run through them real quick, is frequency is not just about the amount you're in front of somebody, right? Because frequency, the more frequent I'm in front of you, like, you guys don't really know me, right? In the first time you're meeting me, the level of comfort you have with me is not super high. The level of trust you have with me is not super high. But the more we actually talk, and imagine if we meet every single week, right? If you guys go to church and I go to church, we join a Bible study, right? Or we join a small group. You get comfortable with me. And what happens at those small groups? You start opening up. right? Mm-hmm. That comfort level. And people want to do business with what? People they know, like, and trust. Everybody's heard that saying. Well, part of it is comfort. You got to get that frequency in front of people to make yourself, or to make you more comfortable with them, and them more comfortable with you. But frequency is not just about the amount of times you're in front of somebody. It's also about the way you communicate.
Yeah.
So people have different frequencies, level of communication. If you're a student of Tony Robbins, he teaches about rapport, right? So I love Tony Robbins. Oh, it's all about rapport. A way to build rapport is to figure out what resonates with somebody, that their level of communication. You guys are high energy. I'm high energy. So we connect right away. Not everybody's high energy, right? And we all know this, right? So you got to figure out, how do you connect? What frequency level of communication? What medium? Some people like text messaging. Some people want a video message. Some people want a face-to-face cup of coffee. You need to know this about your sphere. Take the time to know this. And then the I in FIT stands for impact. You can be frequently in front of your sphere with pieces of trash. Like, I have a pin right here. You guys, I don't know if you do video on this podcast, but I'm holding it up for the camera.
Oh, yeah,
it has my logo on it, right? If I send you this pin frequently, I am in front of you from a marketing standpoint, but you're going to eventually get annoyed, right, Cody? I mean, stop sending me dang pins, Luke. Like, you're sending me pins. Every time. This is what businesses do. They literally, they get a piece of collateral. They put their brand on it. They send it to people consistently and think that's going to generate referrals for them. That's what's going to generate repeat business. The problem is, you can't just be frequent. You have to create impact. See, the key to marketing is relevancy. The more relevant you can be to someone's pain points or their desires, the more they'll pay attention. Think about this with commercials, right? If you buy a car today and you watch a car commercial tomorrow, you're not going to pay attention. It's not relevant to you. You have no need for that, right? You just bought a car. So it's just like, in fact, it's more annoying to you than anything. So a lot of businesses get themselves in trouble because they're frequent, but they don't have impact. A really good hack I would give to all your listeners that I try to practice is, if Cody's in my database as a sphere, as a client, what is the Ford method on Cody? And what I mean by Ford is family, occupation, recreation, dreams.
Wow. Yeah.
So if I know about Cody's family, occupation, recreation, and dreams, chances are I know personally about his life and I have a good relationship with him. So in my CRM, if you don't have a CRM, you should have a CRM. Doesn't matter if you're a network marketer, a real estate agent, you know, business owner like myself, you should have a CRM to organize your business.
Yeah.
But I need to know that about Cody. Because if I know that about Cody, I know how to create impact. So imagine, like, you guys like music. You told me this, right?
Yeah.
So imagine on Sunday, I'm at my praise team and I'm playing music and I go, you know what? I take out my phone as a network marketer and I go, hey, Cody, thinking about you, man. I'm sitting here about to do my praise team. I was thinking about you. I know you're into music, man. Hope you're doing well. And let me know if you need anything, brother. And I send that text message to you in a video. That is some of the most powerful marketing.
Yeah,
if seriously. I maybe send you an article on music, why? Because it's relevant to you. It's personal and it gets you to engage. It gets you to know, like, and trust me deeper than you did before.
Wow.
So you got to have impact, which is, you need to understand family, occupation, recreation, dreams about your clients, about your database. And then last but not least, I'll wrap up because I know I'm talking a lot, but is this idea of trust. Is Cody, you want to be frequent in front of me. You want to create impact. But you're not looking for a lot of best friends, right? You and Gabriel, and am I pronouncing your name right, Gabriel?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, perfect. So you and Gabriel, you're good friends. You're not looking for a bunch of new Gabriels, right? You're looking for more business.
Right.
So you need to make sure that you're frequent, you're impactful, but you brand yourself as the business of trust. So here's what that means, is, are you the subject matter expert in your industry? You want to be the SME. Write that down for people who are listening. If you're not the SME, somebody else is the SME. So if I'm a real estate agent right now, right? And I'm in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, because that's where I'm located. How do I make sure that everybody in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, when they think, who knows the most, who's the subject matter expert on the real estate market in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania? I want them to think me. So whatever you're selling, right? Doesn't matter. Put your widget in there. We're all selling widgets, right? It's, the business is the same, but we're selling widgets. Mm-hmm. How do you become the subject matter expert of that? And there's three ways that I think you can systematically do this. One is, you can do it by showcasing your accolades. Mm-hmm. So like I said, people don't know me from Adam that might be listening to this, But if I tell them, hey, look, been in business for over a decade, worked with over 90,000 businesses, have a 4.8 star review out of 5 on Facebook, have testimonials, right? I start going, hey, my business has been on the Inc. 5000 last 4 years in a row. Congrats. I start mentioning accolades. Your trust builds in me.
Come on.
Your trust in what I'm preaching builds. So you need to show your accolades. But here's a key point. People care what you say, but they care more what your clients say. So the second way to do it is showcase your case studies, your results, your testimonials. And then the third way is through education. So one of the main reasons I do my podcast, Stay Paid Podcast, is because one is I want to give back, but two is I want to build credibility. I want to showcase to people, hey, I'm an expert on these things called marketing. Yeah. And if I put out educational content on my widget, what I'm trying to be the SME in, you're going to naturally start what? Know, like, and trusting me more. Which is ultimately what will lead to being remembered and lead to you doing business with me. So get your marketing fit in 2021 is what I'm saying.
Wow. Woo.
That's probably good. One of my favorite rants that we've gone on this show. I
love that. It's so rich. Oh, I love it.
Man, and not only was it like big picture, but you also broke each step down into like practically here's how you do that. So many people, when they give advice, it's all big picture. But like you said, you are the subject matter expert and you just proved that by not only going big picture, but breaking it down step by step. Freaking great.
Thanks, brother. Thanks.
Oh, for sure. On that, I want to kind of run in the same vein. As you were talking about trust, I think that's a huge opportunity for a lot of people. And so you talked about how to build trust. Do you think there's a difference from how to build trust and how to maintain trust?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a huge difference. I think trust has to be built over time, right? But you also, what is it that Warren Buffett said? You know, it takes years to build a relationship, 5 minutes to break it, right? So I think to maintain trust, it's just like a relationship. Mm-hmm. So it's like we all say we treat our clients like family. But if you only dated your wife once a quarter, would you have a great relationship? If you only called your wife every 6 months, would you have a great relationship?
No.
Everybody knows that. So look at your clients. How do you maintain trust? Well, first mistake people make is they only care and they only give great service during the transaction. How many times have you heard of a business you buy from where it's fantastic? They answer all your questions. They're there. Mm-hmm. They respond. And then all of a sudden you buy and then they never respond.
Right.
So you want to know how to create referrals, how to create raving fans? It's really, really simple. Do the unexpected. Do the unexpected. Here's the thing. As a business, it's like the lights. When I walked into this room, I switched on the light switch. Guess what? The lights came on. I didn't go, oh my gosh, the lights came on. I can't believe it. This is amazing.
Yeah.
No, because I expected it.
Right.
So as a business, when you do what's expected, no one screams from the rooftops. How do you maintain trust? Do the unexpected. What does that look like? Man, think about it this way. If you're a real estate agent, imagine you are going to show someone a home, right? And I use real estate as an example because I have a lot of real estate clients. You're going to show somebody a home. They expect you to show the home. What they don't expect you to do is find out that they have a daughter, Susie, that's 7 years old, that's in ballet. And you go, hey, this home at 1100 First Avenue, guess what? There's a dance school, a ballet school, about 5 miles down the road. I thought that'd be a relevant fact for you. That's the unexpected. Creates people from just a regular transactional thing to an actual experience, a client experience.
Yeah, dude, that's so good. What are some things that you think a lot of people are doing right now that they should not be doing and they should be spending a lot less time doing in their business that you've noticed within the business of, or just in marketing in general?
So, I mean, it's a great question. I think every business has what I would call operational task. Mm-hmm. And what happens to people is the heart of a business is driven by sales. The heart of a business is driven by how many people can you add value to their lives where they'll actually exchange currency for you. Most of us, if we're being honest, we did a ton of operational tasks today that we could hand off to somebody else. But the one task that you usually can't hand off to somebody else when you're a network marketer or when you're an actual like single business owner is the prospecting aspect. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you scale your business, you can, right? I have 120 people on the phones right now. So I've been able to scale my way out of the hardcore prospecting. But the most important thing you should be focused on is the prospecting. You could prospect through a ton of different mediums, but most of us go, well, I got to get that contract stuff sorted out. There's no way. Guess what? The contract stuff will sort itself out once you get the actual deal. Yeah. Right. It was Grant Cardone. You guys mentioned Grant Cardone earlier, and I love Grant, right? He's on this undercover billionaire thing. That's an awesome show that you guys should watch.
Oh yeah.
So I got to plug that. But he talks about, you know, the problem with most entrepreneurs is they have an idea and then they want to monetize that idea. And here's what happens. You see how close my hands are? For everybody who listens to this and doesn't watch the videos, you can't see. But he says, this is what most people do and why most people fail. This is the amount of space they put in between their hands. He goes, when I create an idea, I immediately go to monetize. Most people go, I have to get a contract. I have to figure out the operations, I have to figure out the logistics. And they die because they focus on things. It's like, don't waste any time doing that. Focus on the thing that drives your business, which is sales, and sales solves all pain. But most people run away from sales because it's hard. Because it's 98% rejection.
Yeah, no, that's so, dude, that's so good. So take all of this and bring that down, like you were saying, to the prospecting piece. Is that what you were saying?
Yep. That's bring it down to like the one task you should do in your business every day is revenue generating activities. Like I ask myself every single day, am I doing revenue generating activities?
Yeah.
And this is not about it. You should be a hardcore killer, right? But this revenue generated activities is about helping people. How do you get fastest to what you want to achieve in your life? Help others achieve what they want.
Come on.
Right. So you have to sell in a way that's like, hey, Cody, I can help you. I can help you in your business, whatever it is that you need, that pain point that I can save you from, or that desire that you're desperate for, I can give to you because of my widget. So I want to do that every single day. And I want to delegate every single other thing.
Come on. Yeah. Come
That's
on.
Awesome.
Freaking love it. I love your energy as well. This is so much fun. I want to take this and I want to ask a question that you probably don't get asked terribly. And I wasn't planning on asking it, but I'm going to do it. I want to talk about failure real quick. I want to talk about business failures. What was the last time that you experienced a business failure? And then like, what did that look like? And what did you learn from that?
Oh man, there's so many failures, and this is corny, right? But the road to success is paved with failures. It's true. I mean, I'll tell you a bigger failure that we had. Like, so we print, for those who don't know, one of our flagship products is a customizable magazine. So we will take you guys' leadership within business here. I could create the magazine and then make it branded to you to send to your clients. Well, we made a big mistake. And we accidentally printed a competitor's logo on one of our clients' magazines. Happened in the production process. Mistakes happen. And, you know, this was a great employee. They just made a mistake. It was worth about $1.2 to $1.4 million, that account. And we lost that account basically overnight. Wow. And, you know, it was interesting. Two things I learned from that as I look back on it. Because, guys, when you lose $1.2 million, $1.4 million, like the world feels like it's ending, especially at that period of time. And I remember our VP of corporate sales at the time was literally, no joke here, was outside in the parking lot. He was the one that had closed this deal years before, a couple of years beforehand, was out in the parking lot, sitting on the curb with his head hung between his legs. And one thing it taught me was, you can never let this emotion come over you where you let that dictate everything that happens in your life. Like, I think what a lot of people do is they use the misery that they're at to create the excuse, right? And then they get angry and they start taking out that on other people. Like, you can't let that happen. And then the second, which is the more powerful thing, is because especially on that first point, your team's looking at you. Your team's looking at how you respond, and how you respond is what will personify in them.
Yeah.
Right. They will respond that way. But the second thing, which is greater, is no mistake is as big as you think it is. Like, no matter what you've done, no matter what happens, if you step up, you take ownership, you put one foot in front of the other, it never turns out to where it was as big as you thought it would be. In fact, the main reason people fail because of mistakes is they quit.
Yeah.
Failure is not messing up.
Right.
Failure is quitting.
Yeah.
That's truly what failure is. It's quitting. And we replaced that. I think it was like 8 months. We replaced that in 8 months. What took us a couple years to build, we replaced it in 8 months because we kept putting one foot in front of the other. And, you know, my grandfather on my wife's side, successful business guy, successful in real estate, successful in farming. He has apple orchards. And I asked him one time, older gentleman, I asked him, I said, what's your secret to success? Not that there is one secret, but come on, give me your best stuff. Yeah. And he literally just simplistically said what I just said, which is like, Luke, you just wake up every day and you put one foot in front of the other.
That's so good.
No matter what happens, you just put one foot in front of the other. And that really is like separator between success and non-successful people is discipline and just continuing to go.
Wow. That's so good. And, you know, you kind of touched on it too. I want to talk a little bit about personal development, because it seems like we're kind of going down that bridge a little bit too. Have you ever, you know, on a personal note, have you ever felt like you wanted to quit, and, or just ever felt that sense of imposter syndrome that was going on within yourself and within your business? And how did you deal with that? Like, how did you remain focused and get through that?
Yeah, man. Great questions. Almost like two, I think imposter syndrome. Oh, it's so hard. Even to this day, I feel that, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's really hard every step of the way. You don't feel like you're like, how am I here? Like even on this podcast, right? You go, why am I the one being interviewed? I'm not a Grant Cardone. I'm not an Ed Milet type idea. So I think imposter syndrome is real. No,
you're Luke Acree.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
That's what you are, which is just as good. That.
There's many, many times where I have wanted to quit. And it's not because of, I'll tell you this. It's not because it's so depressing and it's so hard. It's because the lie starts getting implanted in your head that the grass is greener somewhere else, that it's easier somewhere else. I think that's like, not a lot of us don't have this tragic thing that's happened to us that makes us want to quit. It's really that small little lie that just goes, you know what? You'd be making more money right now if you would have went to corporate America. Mm. Or you know what? If you would just try another product, you would actually be successful. Like it's that little lie that tells you the grass is always greener. And then you get to the greener grass. And for some reason that grass turns really brown and the grass you were on looks green. Yeah. Like, I think it's like what I continue to tell myself is this is why all the corniness about the why is so important. Mm-hmm. Because like motivation is a fleeting emotion. So I had Jocko, I don't know if you guys know who Jocko Willink is.
Oh, yeah.
He's Extreme Ownership, right? I had him come and speak to our company. And one of the things that he said that was so powerful is he talked to my sales team specifically in this moment. And he said, look, there's going to be days where you want to make the phone calls. He said, great, do it. He goes, and there's going to be other days where you don't want to make the phone calls, the sales prospecting calls. And he goes, great, do it anyways. And the point being is motivation is fleeting. Right. You're going to, emotions are fleeting. They're going to come and go. There's going to be ups and downs, right? There's going to be valleys. What you have to ask yourself is why are you doing what you're doing? In those moments, here's what I think of the human mind, right? Your body, mind, and spirit. It's what have you invested in your body, mind, and spirit? So when you hit that valley, you can go to that bank account and you can pull out what you invested. Most of us in America are investing the Tiger King, are investing Keeping Up with the Kardashians, are investing these shows. Nothing wrong with entertainment, but most people with their body, mind, and spirit, that's what they're investing in their bank account. So when they hit the valley and they go for motivation and they go to pull themselves up by the bootstrap, guess what? They don't got anything. They got Tiger King there. But if you've invested and you're actually reading good books and you're actually listening to mentors and you're investing in that, when you hit that valley, you're going to have motivation to pull from.
Come on.
Yeah.
Woo.
Mind, body, spirit. Dude, you're a preacher, man. This. You're not just a businessman. You're a freaking preacher.
Well, my dad was a preacher. My grandfather was a preacher. So maybe
you're a PK.
It runs in the family.
That explains it. Man, I love this. So I want to touch on something that you mentioned actually at the beginning during the five random. You were talking about the four pillars of leadership, which is going to be your book. We've convinced four people to write a book on our podcast so far. You're going to be the
amazing.
Fifth. Oh yeah. This is our sub agenda here. Just convince people to write books.
Yeah. And we're going to set it up for you. Like we'll have pre-orders of the book and everything. So you'll be all set by the time done. You've got 100,000 copies sold out, bro. It's going to be
That's fantastic. Yeah. I love that.
Yes. On that, I want to talk about those four pillars of leadership because those were fantastic. Can you just explain, give a little more detail on those and why those are the important things?
Yeah. So these four pillars of leadership You know, hopefully they encompass most. It's more looking back on my journey. I have about 250 employees now, and it's just trying to put into words what I've learned so far, and then looking twofold. One is my own experience, and then two is the leaders that I look up to, the leaders that have led me, the mentors, and going, what is it that they've done that have proven to be successful? I think the most important job of a leader is to set the vision. Now, here's the thing about vision. Your vision as a leader has to be big enough so other people's vision, if you have employees, can be for their life, can be fulfilled within your vision. So most people in leadership, they set the vision for themselves in their own life. But if you want to be in leadership, you're leading others. So you have to make sure that you've set a vision that can be big enough that others can achieve their dreams with inside your vision. That's what almost like a world changer will do, is they'll set a vision so big that people can achieve their vision with inside the vision.
Second is
you have to inspire people to that vision. Inspiration is not just about you being an extrovert or you being a motivational speaker, right? But you have to inspire people to that vision. You must be evangelical, as Ed Milet says, evangelical about your message. Because when you're evangelical about your message, it's life or death. It's the Cortez mentality. Cortez shows up, he burns the ships. Yeah. There's no way back, right? We're going forward. You must inspire people to the vision every single day. And how do you inspire people? It's not based upon what you want. It's not even based upon what they want. It's based upon the vision. This is the beautiful thing about vision and leadership, is it allows you to have tough conversations with people because it's not about you. And where leaders fall down is it becomes about them, right? It becomes about what they're achieving. And people know this when they're under leadership, right? That it's about them. People know that, man, you're not really about helping me. You're about using me to get to where you want. See, leadership is not about being in charge. It's about caring for the people that are put in your charge.
Yeah. Ooh,
right?
That's good.
Yeah. So you have to inspire people every single day to the vision. Third is, and this is where I was the weakest in my leadership career, but I feel I've improved, but have miles and miles to go, is you must hold people accountable to the vision.
Interesting. Yeah.
And you must have standards.
Yeah.
And here's the reality, that the weakness that people will fall into is, as a leader, you want to care about the people in your charge, but sometimes caring about the people in your charge is not accepting their crap. Mm-hmm. It's not accepting their lack of standards. You don't accept someone not showing up to practice on time. You don't accept someone not dressing the right way, because you know why? Because if you truly care about somebody, you're going to hold them to the highest level. And guess what? The greatest people, they want accountability. Tom Brady, and I can't stand Tom Brady, but that guy, you got to respect him, brother. That guy. He wants accountability.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Right? He wants to be measured on his sleep, measured on his water intake, measured on what he eats, measured his time in the film room, because he knows accountability is not a curse, it's a gift.
Right.
Right? So you have to hold your people accountable to the vision and hold high, high standards, because the people you remember in your life are the people that held you to high standards, not the ones who took it easy on you.
Come on.
Dude. Woo. Come on.
And then
the fourth
is you have to walk with your people in the vision.
Yeah.
You can't be Cornwallis on a horse up on a hill sending troops into battle to die. You have to be the first, and you have to be Braveheart. You have to be the guy that's charging first into battle, right? It's not just about being in the trench and working with the people. It's about when your people need you, you're there to step up. That your first thing is not just to point out where they failed, is to get in there and show them how to do it better. And it's like servant leadership. You have to be a servant first. And that's what will earn people's respect, is because you're going first. And I think if you practice all four of those things every single day in your life, you know, leadership is not title. Leadership is not even that you have people assigned to you. Leadership is influence, as John Maxwell says. So we all influence people every single day.
Luke, dude. Oh my God. You're writing this book. Literally. This year, bro. Seriously. I cannot wait to read it, listen to it, embed it in my brain. Holy crap.
Man, I appreciate you guys. You guys are like becoming my hype squad. I love this.
Yeah, well, let's do a call every week.
I already told you. You saw how I had my Zoom. It's like, I'm an egomaniac, I guess, you know, without my title and my Zoom accent.
Hilarious.
Bro, that's amazing. All right, so let's keep going into this because I love this. This is unbelievable. Yeah. So obviously you have a phenomenal posture when it comes to the leadership with your company, with your just the people that you're around, you know, and that's not something that just comes naturally to somebody. You know, that's something that you actually have to build within yourself. You would agree with that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And
so with that being said, obviously it takes going out of your comfort zone to get that kind of posture. So I guess my question is, when was the last time that you went out of your comfort zone so that you can continue to grow this posture that you have?
So the last place of significance that I've gone out of my comfort zone is actually at my church. So my pastor's gone on sabbatical and they asked me to step in and teach some. And that has really pushed me outside of my comfort zone for a myriad of different reasons. One is, you know, just nervous and making sure I'm teaching the right thing and stuff like that. But, you know, I can speak in front of people. I do that for a living a lot of times. Yeah. But teaching's a lot different. And then being involved in my church, I go to a church called Calvary Vision, and making sure that I'm teaching the right thing and that sound and all that good stuff was something that really pushed me out of my comfort zone, because it required me to take the, like, a deeper study aspect. Like, the greatest teachers, right, they actually are the ones who learn the most when they're teaching, because they study the most. So that's probably the biggest place I've gone out of my comfort zone recently from a personal side.
That's amazing. And I also have to say, you're out of Pennsylvania, is that right?
Yeah, out of Pennsylvania.
Yep. Yeah, okay. So that's why you don't like Tom Brady, because we're up in Maine. So
I was wondering.
I want to put a plug in for your church. Just, it's Calvary Vision. Is that what you said?
Yeah, Calvary Vision. Yep.
Yeah. So if we got anybody who's looking for a church out in Pennsylvania, you guys got to check out Calvary Vision, because it's freaking unbelievable. So there we go. All right, Gabe, you go.
Love it. So you've had some incredible insights on this podcast, man. I am going to be really, I'm stoked to edit this, because I'm going to re-listening to it like four times and loving it. But you didn't get here. Obviously, this didn't happen naturally. You just talked about how going out of your comfort zone. But you also didn't learn everything that you know now. Just, you weren't born with that knowledge. So what are some of the book recommendations that have helped you kind of develop your perspective and develop the ideas that you have?
Yeah, great question. You know, because we just plugged the church, I can't help myself. I'll plug, I think the best business book on the face of the planet is the Bible. I really do. And that's not to push religion down people's throats or anything like that. I would really highly encourage everybody to read the book of Proverbs. If you read other book in the Bible, read the book of Proverbs. The wisdom in there is unbelievable, because the Bible is all about people, right? And business is all about people.
Yeah.
And so I guess from a business side, I mean, I want to give you guys some of the powerful books, I guess, that are influencing. I mean, I'm reading Think or Grow Rich Again. The principles in there are invaluable. What Got You Here Won't Get You There was a great book for me. So it's all about the weaknesses. Like, it basically talked about this consultant who coaches executives that are incredible in so many areas, but they have a minor like defect, right? They have something that's really holding them back. And how to change that. That was a good book. Atomic Habits. So discipline, right? It's all about discipline and setting good habits and all this stuff. So that's a great one I would recommend for people. Some of the staples out there, that How to Win Friends and Influence People, Good to Great. All great books. Extreme Ownership, we talked about that. It was a great book. A guy, I butcher his name, but there's an author, Patrick Leasoni, I think is how you pronounce
it. Never pronounced that either.
Yeah. It's a hard name to pronounce, but he wrote a bunch of good books. If you have a team, The Five Dysfunctions of a Team is an incredible, in fact, randomly enough, in the podcast studio, I have one right here, but The Five Dysfunctions of a Team, incredible book. The Advantage is another great book if you're leading an organization. He has one, Politics in Silos, I believe is the title. That's good. If you suffer from politics in your organization, that's a great one.
Wow, dude, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing those. And
absolutely.
So unfortunately, we only have one last question, and I can't believe it, because I could sit here all night long and chat with you about all this stuff. This is phenomenal. So we're going to have to do another interview, maybe next time in person, once this pandemic thing goes over.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the final question, this one's a little bit different from everything else, and it's way more personal. And that is this. So if you, let's just say that you're in your last moments and you are on your deathbed, you have everybody else around you, and you just have a final piece of advice that you want to give everybody, what do you think that advice would be? And that doesn't have to be relative to anything we've talked about, you know, straight from your heart, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Twofold.
I would shout out
two pieces of advice because I can't help myself is life's about relationships.
Yeah.
Right. It's not about things. It's about relationships. It's all you can have and take with you. And then second is take action. The difference between top producers and mediocre producers. Mm-hmm. It's not talent. It's not intellect. It's action. Mm-hmm. So take action on those dreams. Don't live somebody else's life and don't live for the opinion of others.
Yeah.
Wow. Come on. Come on. That is fantastic. That is just straight up mic drop right here at the end. Thank you so much, Luke. So appreciate your time. All y'all watching, literally, if you loved this and you did, hit that like button because you loved it. Show Luke some love. This has been such a blast. Luke, it has been an honor to be a part of this with you, man.
Awesome, man. It's been fun. Thank you guys so much.